For decades, going to hospital usually meant entering a fairly austere building with grey walls and functional furniture, and perhaps being ushered into a room that, again, was quite alien to your lived experience outside the institution. Well, that's changing. Hospital design is changing in consultation not only with the staff who work there, but the patients who have to come in and deal with the environment, and that's all to the good. It actually improves medical outcomes. Hello, I'm Michael McKenzie, and I'm standing in the foyer of Royal Melbourne Hospital with a couple of people who are the designers and architects responsible for some new ways this hospital interacts with its clientele.
Yeah, so my name's Justin Littlefield. I'm one of the partners at Clark Hopkins Clark Architects and head up the health practice.
Justin, we're actually standing in the reception area of Royal Melbourne Hospital, and you look quite proud. Why?
Yes, yeah, so we're standing in amongst one of our latest projects, which was the whole reinvigoration of the entrance as you come into the hospital. Previously, the reception faced the wrong way. It was separated from the volunteers, but now we've brought them back together so that they can work together, can help clients.
Hang on, before you go on, when you say the reception faced the wrong way, which way did it face?
It faced towards the back of the hospital, not the front where people were entering. And we're at this incredible sort of junction here between lots of different parts to the hospital, from emergency through to the women's, etc. So we changed it and created a curved foyer, desk, reception, all blended into one in a very low height, relaxed, calm manner. So people often coming to hospitals have high anxiety because they've come here to visit a sick relative.
They're sick themselves.
Correct. Yeah. And so this is about that first stage of the trip into the hospital, getting calming influences of the curves, plus using baffles with acoustic treatment so that we deaden the noise, where we still have to have highly trafficable surfaces for floors, but we can come up with different ideas for ceilings and things like that to reduce noise. There was concern about some privacy, but as you can see the back of people, but you can't see the information on their screens. We made the depth and it doesn't concern them, so it is very pleasing.
Now, I think we're about to go upstairs to see another area where often high anxiety and great need have been catered for in a new way. So perhaps we should head up there and do that. We've just come out of the lift on the 8th floor in the recently redesigned stroke recovery unit area, and with me I think is one of the designer who worked very closely with the hospital. What's your name?
Nicholas Simmons from Clark Hopkins Clark Architects.
As a designer who may not have spent a lot of time in hospital, were you surprised by some of their needs?
In short, yes. Understanding what a stroke patient requires, it's not something that I've come across as a young architect. Every time you design a health facility or a space within the hospital, it's something new, something new to discover and something new to research.
So what are some of the examples of surprises that you had to contend with to adapt this space in the best possible way?
One of them was around stimulation and overstimulation. So if a stroke patient is overstimulated, that can send them into a stroke again. However, through rehabilitation, we need to start to stimulate their body again and reconnect and rewire their brain so that they can recover essentially.
That's an amazing challenge. So give me an example then of how you had to bring stimulation levels down and then be appropriately stimulating in other spaces.
I think it's through material selection. We've got a soft grey palette with warm natural timbers, and then you've also got blue, which is very calming. So the flip side of that is it starts to bring a warmth to the space and makes it feel less clinical and more homely.
Well, let's see how that's worked in practice, shall we? Let's head in.
As we enter the ward, the first thing you come across obviously is the staff base, and they've got terrific vision. You can see right down the ward corridors. So the design of the whole space and the planning of it was done through this internal racetrack. So the whole point, and through rehabilitation, Nicholas just spoke about the stimulation, but it's to get the patients out, up and walking within 24 hours of having the stroke.
Which is quite extraordinary. It's not something you'd associate with recovery at all, but this is the new techniques that's proving to be really effective, yeah?
Yeah. So the design here had, and I guess the first thing was to get natural light into all of the bedrooms through biophilia design. Having natural light and stimulation through sunlight helps with aiding of patients' recovery through brain stimulus and things like that. So that was the first point of getting all the bedrooms around the outside. Then the activity spaces all through the middle. So there's spaces where you can sit and walk down one part of these corridors to that blue sitting zone on the end.
I want to go there now. I love that colour. Nick, you've done well on that colour. I love it.
There's also gate markers down the corridor which enable the clinicians to track the patient's progress. So if they can get them to walk up and down there on a regular basis, they'll see the improvement, be able to track it. And then around the middle of this central sort of services zone, more sitting zones where the patients are encouraged to walk around the racetrack, if you like, and get out of bed and help their recovery.
I love the way you call it a racetrack, but I imagine if you're in stroke recovery, you're doing anything but cantering or galloping.
Possibly, but that's the aim at the end.
Marvie, tell us what you do here.
I'm the ward clerk for stroke and neurology.
And would I be right in thinking you've been in this unit for a time, like for a time before this redesign occurred?
13 years? Yes, I have. I've been with the unit for 13 years.
See how polite I was there?
Yeah, very polite.
So you're in a really great position to notice the difference in terms of outcomes for not only staff but patients when this kind of redesign comes into play.
Absolutely.
What have you seen?
Well, for the staff, for some reason, this ward is much quieter. There is a lot more walking to be done, but they appreciate it. We're a lot more connected. We seem to be able to see each other, communicate better. And for the patients, they love the rooms, they love the light, and they love the clean spaces that we've got. So it's beautiful.
And can you describe what this unit looked like before the redesign?
You mean the old unit?
Yeah.
A rabbit warren. That's probably the best way to speak.
From a clinician's point of view, Michael, it's hard to describe the difference. The old ward was really a 19th century design, and now we've moved well into the 21st century. The difference is massive. My name's Professor Mark Parsons. I'm Director of Neurology at Royal Melbourne Hospital, in charge of the new stroke and neurology ward.
Well, appearances can change, but that doesn't necessarily change experience. So what have you noticed there?
Exactly. Yeah, that's true. Well, certainly from the clinician's experience, even from simple things, we're, there's much more space, there's much more light, we're not tripping over things. We've got a great rehabilitation space, a gym in the middle of the ward, which we didn't have before. And indeed, the space in the corridors allows patients and families to walk around, interact. It's a much better experience for all concerned.
It's made us feel a little more connected to each other, which is good.
And in turn to the patients.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
So what we've got is these little booths within corridor space where they can work but see straight to the patient through these glass windows.
Without being intrusive.
Correct, yes. Yeah. Each patient bay or room has a lifting hoist above, so once again to aid that getting out of bed as soon as possible.
Yeah.
And Nicholas, the floor as well.
So there's a floor inlay of timber under each of the beds, which kind of invoke that sense of home by almost representing just a rug in a room.
Yeah.
Almost. So you start to kind of get these thoughts about home through that use of material and design.
So what is happening in the brain of a recovering stroke survivor when they're experiencing now your new environment and some of those techniques, which I think include getting stroke recovery up and running literally on their feet within 24 hours?
Absolutely. Well, it's interesting because there's actually loads of experimental evidence in stroke that if you deprive a stroke patient of a nice environment, they actually recover more slowly because what we call an enriched environment with lots of stimulation and even moving around, getting up, walking around, actually stimulates the brain to form new connections.
And it might be that they get up from the rooms opposite and literally just walk across the corridor as their first stage of recovery. Then as they go, they can take shortcuts through the middle. There's another seat on the opposite side of this central zone. Mm-hmm. So there's another 20 steps or something that gets them to the next spot. Then they can pick whether they go for the whole loop of one of the ends, and they all vary in length and distance. So we had a lot of fun, in a way, designing to respond to these needs.
What about patient outcomes? Has that been changed at all by this redesign?
In terms of patient satisfaction surveys, we're over 90% every month. In terms of heart outcomes, we're seeing more stroke patients discharged directly home that would previously have had to go to inpatient rehabilitation. That means for that same length of stay, patients have a much better level of function than they did previously. So that means they're able to go home directly and look after themselves rather than need further rehabilitation to get them to an independent level.
Which improves their quality of life and also cuts down on costs around recovery and rehabilitation.
Exactly. The costs are saved in the community as well as in the hospital. For example, if you save one stroke patient from going to a nursing home, you're saving the community around $200,000 in the first year and $100,000 thereafter. So you would only need to prevent 10 patients a year from going to a nursing home to cover the cost of the ward. So I think that's a wonderful investment personally, but some people look at the figures differently to me. Maybe I'm a bit biased.
I don't know. I think if we're talking about patient satisfaction and better medical outcomes, isn't that kind of why you're there?
Exactly. As I say, though, but not everyone thinks the same.
Well, maybe they should start changing then.
Agreed.
That's Professor Mark Parsons, director of the recently redesigned Royal Melbourne Hospital Stroke Recovery Unit. He was speaking there with Michael McKenzie. And thank you to the architects and designers who took Michael on the tour. You can find full guest details on the Life Matters website. You're on RN.